Coming from a fire, you want to make sure you get some.
Yes, I want people. So that's why, like, I will tell people even a little bit, you know, even if it's two, even if it's only an hour, I'm going to tell you at least 2 hours. So that way I know for sure you're going to get in line and get in there and get something. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want anybody ever driving that far to get there and get to the door and it be sold out.
Another confirmed multimedia production.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good, good to eat. Give us something good to watch.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B-Fines. I'm back with a special viral sensation. Big Nita's Cheesecake. Welcome to the set. How's it doing?
Good. How are you? Good.
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, sir?
Pretty good.
What's your name? I forgot to get your name.
Berto.
Okay. The husband?
Yes.
Okay. It's nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Uh-huh. So how does it feel, man? We was going to go back to it. How does it feel? Like, you still, like, when I first read about you, it was, I seen people waiting. It was like, she got people waiting in the rain on Barstown Road for the cheesecake. Like, and this is probably about a month or two ago. So, like, how does it feel? Like, how does it, you know, how y'all feeling today? Just overall.
Blessed, grateful, overwhelmed, but stressed. a little bit.
It's just a little bit of everything, really.
A little bit of everything, yeah.
Yes. Like, but big, I get bit in a good way, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like a big ball of emotions.
Okay.
Of all the different kind of emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My lovely producer is Justin, Mike B. Haywood, man. He's the man that makes the magic happen.
We appreciate all the backs of other side of production.
So how long have y'all been together? Like, how long y'all, you know, was it?
Like, how long has our business been open, or just how long?
As a couple, like, together, like, you know.
Okay, we've been together, what?
2016.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2016.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have y'all been into the business, in the cheesecake business?
We started during the height of COVID, which I think was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So going on almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what was the, you know, a lot of people, you know, during COVID found their entrepreneurship wings during COVID. Like, so what was it like? Mm-hmm. Was it, you know, starting your business? Like, what was the...
Well, it wasn't intentional. Like, it wasn't we're going to start a business. We're going to start a bakery. Like, I just got sober. I was a couple weeks sober. And I was kind of struggling to stay sober that time. And I just came across a cheesecake on Facebook, which was a banana pudding cheesecake. And I wanted to make it, kind of like give it out to our friends and family. And long story short, we did it. And that literally started our business. And then people wanted cherry cheesecake after that and raspberry cheesecake. And then we started making cheesecakes. And that was the moment that it started. That was the weekend that it all started.
Oh, that's amazing. So describe that, like, when it became like a hobby into like a maybe a full-fledged business. Like, what was that turning point?
So we were baking on the weekends and we were baking at night after work because we both worked full-time jobs. And I can just remember the demand getting to a point where I told him, I was like, look, it can go two routes. Either I can quit my job and try to pursue this, or we can... It got to the point where we needed to decide if I was going to quit my job and pursue it, or right. We were just going to kind of not really let it go, but like back off because it
put
was
on the back burner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because it was becoming too much. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't even really remember. I don't think when the business got to that point.
Well, it was, so you started working part-time.
Oh yes, I dropped down to part-time first. That's
and
right.
And then tried doing cheesecakes part-time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that lasted about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, I gotta do this full-time, because she was getting a lot of orders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the time, I mean, 5 orders was a lot for you know, for her at the time.
Yeah.
So she went full-time, and then after I would get off work, I would start helping her make crusts and everything. Mm-hmm. And she got a lot busier after that. Even busier.
Always continued to get a little bit busier,
And then about a year after she went full time, we sat down. It's like, hey, you know, she needed help, more help than just me after work. So we're like, either I quit my job and do it full time too, or we hire someone to help her out. So we sat down, we made calculations about, you know, my salary when I was working, see how much we needed to make, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We took the risk. I quit and started helping her full time, and
the rest is history.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, so then at this time, you were still like out of your house.
We were still out of our house at this point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, what point did you like? So, you started out as a food truck, if I believe.
Well, we just started out of our house first, and we just primarily baked out of our house, like I said, on nights after work, and then on the weekends.
And then we started setting up at this parking lot. We'd take out coolers and a table. That's all we started at first. And then eventually we went into a commissary kitchen where we were able to make a little bit more. And then at that time we bought the truck, and then we started going out on the truck.
So it went from our house to a commissary kitchen, which we shared that kitchen with four other businesses. They were also bakers. Like a chef space. Just like a chef space. And we saved up money from there, and then we continued to get bigger, and we knew we wasn't ready for a storefront quite yet, so it was like, what are our next options? And then we started looking into, like, a cheesecake truck or a food truck type of thing. So that's how the food truck or the cheesecake truck came along. So that was kind of our next step after the commissary kitchen, and we worked out of our cheesecake truck for a while, continued to save money, and then moved into a storefront from there.
Okay, that's amazing. So to backtrack a little bit, you said you was you just said it, and I seen like a TikTok about it that you you've been sober for 9 years?
No, I've been sober now since the business first started, so that would have been about almost 5 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
My mother, she's in recovery. She's been 09, so that's what, 17 years, 16 years. So describe the battles with that. Like, how does it? You know, what was the?
You know, it's crazy because I was always very functional as an addict. I always went to work. You know, I think people get these ideas of addicts being people that just, like, are not good people. You know, they're homeless. They don't have places to live. They don't go to work. They steal. They lie. They, you know, and don't get me wrong, that is a part of addiction if that's a part of your journey. For me, as an addict, I was always very functional. I went to work. I lived a normal life outside of just in private having a problem. And, you know, it's just something I struggled with on and off for probably a big chunk of my life. I would say at least 9 years of my life on and off. And I just could never maintain consistent sobriety. Like, there was many times throughout my life where, like, I would get sober, I would do okay, and I would just kind of fall back on the bandwagon, off the bandwagon. And then it wasn't really until we started baking and all of this kind of came about that I really stayed sober. But the journey was, you know, like I said, for me, probably a difficult journey. But, you know, I was always very functional in my addiction. So most people would never even have known it, you know, unless I spoke it.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't until I got honest with myself and I got honest with people around me that it allowed me to heal and finally recover. And I think that was the difference. Previously in my addiction, I would just try to, like, do it. Like, you know, obviously Bertle knew, or like maybe my best friends would know, but like the masses of people didn't know, you know, because I was always ashamed of it. So it wasn't until I accepted it was a part of who I was. That's when I was finally able to heal and just kind of stay on the right path in my sobriety. So I think until I got honest with myself and people around me, that's what really allowed me to continue sobriety, like to stay sober.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's amazing, man. And congratulations. One day at a time.
One day at a time.
So the cheesecake business. So you right now you got the food truck. So like, when was it like you got the storefront? Like, what was that moment? If you want to describe that, like, when was the, you know, I'm gonna get a store.
Okay, so it's crazy because before we even had our storefront, we knew that the storefront was the long-term goal, was the end goal, obviously. So before we even had a location, before we even knew where our storefront was going to be, we had already started preparing for it. And what I mean by that is, like, buying equipment, putting it in storage, things like that. Because one thing about our journey and our business is we've always worked our way up the ladder. Like, we never, like, took out a big loan to do anything, like, irrational. It was always just, like, we would save money, get to the next step, and then we would hustle some more and save money and get to the next step. So our business never acquired any debt because we just
Right.
We wanted to save money and do it that way versus like taking a big loan and opening a big storefront. So I'm getting off track, but
that's the key to any, like, especially small business starting out, like keeping your overhead down. You don't want to get too much overhead in the early beginnings, you know. You want to keep it a small space.
Yeah. Like, we knew going into it, like, if we were going to get a storefront, we was going to have to sign a lease with somebody, which would put us in some type of debt to somebody. But we wanted that to be our only debt. We didn't want to owe money for equipment and for this and that and that. And, you know, it's just too much. When you're a small business and you're trying to, like, get up that ladder, you know, like you said, you want to try to keep it as profitable as you can. So we knew we didn't want to be in debt to anybody a bunch of money, because at any point in time, if we wanted to be like, this ain't for us, we want out.
Right.
We didn't want to have a commitment to a big loan or I really feel like to anything like that, because we didn't want to be, I don't want to say locked to it, but you know, like things change and seasons change and you never know if there might be a time that we wake up and say, we don't want to do this anymore because it's hard work and, you know, whatever. So we knew we wanted to be smart about our journey. So what we started doing was we got on Facebook Marketplace and we would look for equipment. And when we would find it, we would go buy it and we'd put it in storage and we would just, you know, that's how we got all of our equipment and all that kind of stuff. But one of our mutual customers, who was it to Andy?
I think it's...
His mother-in-law?
Mother-in-law, I think.
Okay, so one of our customers knew somebody that owned property, that owned buildings and stuff.
Right.
And so she was like, you should talk to Andy. Oh. Andy owns a bunch of places, and he might be able to help you to get into a storefront. And so that's kind of how we met our landlord, and even... We had looked at a couple other places. Like, we knew that's what we wanted, but nothing really set in stone had come about until we met Andy, which is our landlord. He's a great guy. We love Andy. Shout out to Andy. Mm-hmm. Amazing guy. He's helped us a lot with our business. Very smart businessman. And we met him, and he had some property that was open, and we kind of went and looked at it, and that's how we got into our storefront now.
Okay.
So through a mutual customer, basically, helped us really kind of get it all squared away and lined up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what was that first viral, like, because I just recently, like, ran across, you know, y'all in, like, the last 2 or 3 months. Like, when was that viral moment? Like, when was that, like, you know, like, damn, like, I got something. Like, this is a, you know, because I seen somebody's posting, like, people's waiting outside. Like, it was a line wrap. It was literally raining. People was in umbrellas. I'm like, oh, man, so when was that moment, like?
Well, our business, one thing about our business is our business has always been very successful. We've always been very fortunate. We've built our clientele. We've been very successful with it. But we've always had people really since the beginning, like, line up for our cheesecakes and kind of like go to the extreme of it. But it wasn't until I started posting on TikTok, I would say it was not this past February, but the February before that. So it's been like a year and a half I've been posting on TikTok now.
Mm-hmm.
But this past April, I had a video on there go viral, and it was of me doing our variety sampler cheesecakes.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of when, like, all this craziness really started. So about 4 months ago, I would say. Now, prior to this, our business has always been successful. We've always done well. But this is just, this whole experience has been way different than just how it was before, like, really TikTok. It went TikTok. From
us selling out, you know, taking us the whole time we advertised that we're open to selling out within an hour, hour and a half.
That's amazing right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So people wonder, like, why we have these hours that are so long, but they don't realize, like, prior to going viral on TikTok, like, even though we would still always sell out, it would still take us, like, if we were open on Friday 1 to 9, we would be open until 9 o'clock. We would sell out, but it would take us the whole time, you know? So people say, like, why are your hours so long and you sell out so quick? And, like, well, you know, 3 months ago, like, that was the hours our business needed.
Mm-hmm.
And now things are continuing to grow. So right now is when we're trying to decide, okay, do we need to change our hours? Do we need to wait it out? We just want to kind of see where things are going to go, you know, because virality sometimes can be short-lived. And with any business, you have busy spurts and you have slow spurts, and that's just the nature of the business. So that's kind of where we are now with trying to figure out, like, how do we need to adapt our business to what is happening now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially going into our The holiday season's surprisingly is our slow season, except really? For, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. I think Christmas weekend, the rest of the fall, winter, it's slow for us. So we're trying to see where that goes.
Yeah, we want to see how, like, our slow season is now that we're not in a slow period of our business.
Right.
Because usually this time of year, like, August through, like, I would say the beginning of March is, like, more of a quieter, like a slower part of business time. People think, oh, the holidays, you're super busy. Not really true outside of like the week of Christmas and the week of Thanksgiving.
Right.
Those weeks are, of course, crazy busy. But outside of those weeks, people typically just don't have the extra funds and stuff because they're spending it for the holidays and things like that. So we're trying to really ride it out and see like how the next couple months are going to be for our business, since technically we're supposed to be getting into our slow season, if that makes sense.
So do y'all have like certain flavors that's only in style for like maybe, you know, like certain fruits or like certain seasons? So what flavors are those? Like what flavors, you know, you only can get like in certain ones?
Well, we have banana pudding every week. That's our most popular. So that flavor never comes off our menu. But like for the holidays, we'll do like pumpkin stuff and apple things, peach things. Throughout the summer, we do a lot of like lemon blueberry stuff, lemon stuff, strawberry stuff. Those will sell well in the summer months. And then once holiday season hits, people want like caramel apple and peach cobbler and pumpkin pie, things like that. So we try to accommodate seasons with
just usually your typical, you know,
seasonal stuff, you know,
flavors.
Yeah. Christmas is definitely the Little Debbie Christmas tree and flavors like that.
As soon as that becomes available in stores, people are asking for it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll run that flavor like from the end of October through the end of Christmas.
So is your cake in like stores, or y'all just, when you say in stores, like are they like in?
Oh, I mean like the Little Debbie.
Okay, I got you. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like the Little Debbie pastries.
Yeah, I got you.
Once we make that a becomes, cheesecake out of that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's amazing.
Yeah. So that's a big seasonal. So yeah, so we just got kind of roll with like with whatever's with the seasons. And honestly, I know it may sound crazy, but sometimes like some of the seasonal stuff isn't even really like a popular, you know what I'm saying? Like pumpkin spice, like everybody likes pumpkin spice, but it still ain't going to sell better than our banana pudding or like a lemon blueberry. Like it's, you know, it's sometimes it's a crazy thing to navigate because you want it to sell well and you want it to do well, but it's just like people want pumpkin spice for like 1 week. And then after that, they don't want it no more.
Mm-hmm. So you just recently put a video on TikTok. It was kind of like tearful. I think it was more like you was talking to like upset customers. You want to talk about that?
I think people just need to understand. They have to understand like we're only a team of five. You know, there's me and Berto and we have our employees. We can only produce so much, you know. It isn't like there's just endless space to make whatever we want. As much as we would love that to be our reality, it's not our reality. And so people give us a lot of slack because they see this big demand within our business, but they don't understand that in order to keep up with demand, you have to have the production space to do so. And right now, you know, 3 months ago, our storefront was fine because even though we were still selling out, there wasn't this like crazy, what am I trying to say? Like we would still sell out, but there wasn't the virality with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now that the virality is with it, it just draws so much more people from other places and from Louisville too. But, you know, people have to understand in order to increase your production, you have to have the space to do so, which we don't.
Right.
What we was making 3 months ago was fine because we would sell it, but, you know, we would always make it through the line before we would sell out. It really wasn't an issue. Mm-hmm. But now that the demand is so great, you know, we make what our location can hold. And when we're sold out, we're sold out. There's no, it's physically impossible to produce more. People don't understand that. And they also don't understand that we're not really new to this. I think a lot of people come at us as in a way of like, we're new to this and we don't know what we're doing, but we've been doing this for years. And, you know, you can't just up and get another location. Right. Like it took us
scale of business. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it took us like from the time that we started saving equipment for our when we moved into our storefront, like a whole year from like saving equipment to actually getting moved in to hiring employees, to building a team. Like, you can't do that stuff overnight.
Right.
You know, that stuff takes so much time and so much effort and so much money, you know? So a lot of people are like, why aren't you looking for a bigger location? And they don't understand, like, we're still under contract with our current lease.
Right.
And we still have a year and a half left on that. So unless we want to buy out of that lease, which is, I'm not even going to say how much it is, but it would probably, you know, people wouldn't even imagine how much it is to buy out of something like that.
Commercial properties, for spend, you know, real estate is expensive. You know, rent's high, period, but yes. Commercial rent is, you know, through the roof, so.
Yeah, and so mm-hmm. people are like, oh, you can just buy out of your lease, or, oh, you should look for another location, and they want to pressure you to make all these irrational business decisions because there's a demand around your product. But since we've had our business, this has probably happened to our business like two or three times now. Mm-hmm. Like, we went viral on Facebook, and we'll get this crazy demand, and then after a couple of months, it kind of peaks off, and I wouldn't say dies off, but it goes back to like
slows down.
Yeah, okay. Like, so that's what people don't understand. Like, this isn't the first time this has happened to our business. This is probably like the third time, mm-hmm. and people just have to, you just have to like ride it out, you know. Right. So they want to really pressure us, and some people just really aren't nice about it. And like, look, we get it. You know, if we can make more product to make more money, that's what we would do because we're business owners, and that's what you do as business owners. But if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Right.
You know, if there's not the space to do it, there's not the space to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people just have to understand is that just because we're not doing it right now, it doesn't mean that we're not looking into it.
Right.
We definitely are. Mm-hmm. We're just taking it slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, we don't rush into it and it fall apart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how was it working, Heavy Plates 502? How was it working with them? They amazing people.
Yes.
I ran into them and they invited me to their food meetup, the one at Gus's Fried Chicken. Mm-hmm. I think they got another one coming up soon. I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
How was it working with them?
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I met Chelsea now actually through TikTok. She started following me on TikTok and she came out a couple months ago to our...
She put an order in.
It came out to review our stuff, and that's how we met them. And then ever since then, we've just been super close, and me and her are good friends now, and...
And that they catered employees this past Friday, mm-hmm. and...
Oh, really?
That's
amazing.
Their food is amazing.
Yeah, they catered our lunch, because we get lunch for our employees every Friday, and so Chelsea had reached out and was like, you know, we would really like to cater for you guys. And I was like, bet, let's do it. So they came out last Friday and brought us a bunch of stuff. I mean, just crab legs and potatoes. And their food is so good. So Heavy Plates 502, get y'all some. Like, so good. But we love them. They're super good people.
Yeah, they are. They're real amazing mm-hmm. people. So you said you feed your employees every Friday. And you also said that you have a mental health mm-hmm. for your employees that you mm-hmm. Every quarter, mm-hmm. you pay them a week off mm-hmm. and, you know, and tell them to go take a vacation. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that come about? Like, that's amazing, right? I think our businesses should, you know, take that model, man.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I mean, it just us with Nicole and I really working every single day for mm-hmm. the past, you know, 5 years. Us, you know, again, just getting fatigued after a long time, period of time. And with a small team, like, we understand that if we're feeling like, you know, tired and fatigued, stuff like that, they are too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so if we need a break, they need a break. And that's how we came up with it, you know, mm-hmm. Because we're wanting to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't just have them take off and not right. get paid for it. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of companies, you have PTO, you take your time off, you still get paid, stuff like that. But
mm-hmm. right.
And people get, and not to interrupt you, but there's been like some confusion because people are like, you know, I make a video about it, you know, really pushing other businesses and companies to offer these things. And then there's people that are like, yeah, but companies already offer their employees PTO, but they have to understand these breaks are different outside of their PTO.
Right.
So they get PTO and sick time, and they also get these quarterly breaks.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah. you know, when we plan our breaks, we'll kind of talk to everybody, our team, and say, is there a week or a month that somebody has something going on? Like, we try to plan our breaks around what works best for our employees. Like, if one of them has a vacation, we'll try to plan it for their vacation so we can make sure they can take that week off and get paid and things like that. But people get this confusion of like, well, it's not really that big of a deal because everyone offers PTO, but this is separate from a PTO. They get okay. this separate, and yeah. they get their PTO.
That is amazing. That is
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. yeah.
And then like what I really like about us giving them these weeks off is that because when someone takes time off with PTO, with especially a small team with us, like everyone's got to pick up the slack of mm-hmm. that one person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with these weeks, we're all going to be off, so no one has to really have that stress of mm-hmm. picking up any work for right. taking off. So that's why we really like doing it, just so for 4 weeks out of the whole year, they can just relax and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, because we work hard. You right. know, people don't realize how labor-intensive baking and especially for Berto and I, you know, our employees, they have their typical couple days off a week, but Berto and I don't. We only take off when we take these breaks mm-hmm. Just because we have to be there, you know, to work and whatnot. But it's been super successful for our business because I feel like it just gives everybody a time to breathe, especially like right now when things are so crazy. Like the last few months have been so demanding from all of us, not mm-hmm. even just Berto and I, but our employees too. They definitely feel the wrath of it too, because the phone rings more. There's more customers. There's us trying to figure out ways to maybe make a couple more cheesecakes a week here and there. And it mentally is exhausting for everybody. At one, it gets to the point where it gets, you know, mm-hmm. like this last like couple weeks, everyone's ready for these breaks. You can tell in the shop, everybody's just like hanging on by uh-huh. a thread, you know. I'm like, come on, guys, we got one more week. We can do it, you know. So they look forward to it. They love it. And it's just been a great thing we've implemented into our business. And it's good for Berto and I, too, because it allows us time off to do things outside of our business and see our friends and family and have normalcy, because outside of these breaks, it's always about the business.
Right.
And it is just, that's how it just has to be.
Pedal to the metal.
Pedal to the metal mm-hmm. every day.
So, the food reviewer, Luke, mm-hmm. he just reviewed you. So how was it? Did you meet him? Like, how was it?
Yes.
And how's business been after, like, because he has a pretty big platform.
Yes, he does. Uh-huh. And we've been trying, me and us and our employees have been trying to get Luke to come out for probably like a year now. Like, we always tag our business in his videos, and uh-huh. we didn't even know he was coming. He had placed an order, and we didn't really put two and two together until he showed up to pick up his order.
So did he put it under his name?
He put it under Luke uh-huh. Collins,
okay.
but under his social media is Luke Foods.
Right.
So no one just put two and two together
right.
until he picked up on that Saturday, and we were working, and we were busy. We were so busy, and I remember, like, looking up, and there he was standing with his mom.
She was, you know, she was on live.
Yeah, I was on TikTok live. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he shows up, she looks up, and she's like, I gotta go, guys, I gotta go.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, uh-huh. you know, gets off live and, uh-huh. you know, go get his order, stuff like that, but.
Yeah, but it was, it just felt like a big milestone in our business, because us and our employees have been trying for the last year to get his attention to come and review our cheesecake. So to see him standing there, just felt like such a huge accomplishment. Like, just like I said, one of the milestones that, you know, like, I feel like as small business owners, you work towards little milestones in your business, you right. know, and that was one that we had been working towards for like a whole year. And so to get him to finally come, man, it was just the best feeling, because we really like Luke. I like what he's about. I like what he does for the community.
Right.
And that's what I feel like sets him apart from other food reviewers, is because he's really for small businesses, mm-hmm. especially businesses that are struggling. He uses his platform in a positive way to help the community, to mm-hmm. help small businesses. So that's why him coming was such a big deal for us.
And he's mainly based in the state of Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yep. I mean, he's done reviews outside of Kentucky, but he's from Kentucky.
Right.
And most of his reviews, I feel like, are a big chunk mm-hmm. of them are in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So has any celebrities, like, reached out to you, just, like, had you, like, damn, like...
No.
Uh-huh.
That's our next... But that's on our list.
Right.
I keep uh-huh. saying, like, that's my next goal, is to get some kind of celebrity or... But no one has reached out. No one has stopped by. But we're manifesting it, you know? Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll be a next milestone for us.
We did. Once we moved into this location about a year in, one of my employees was leaving for the day, and he noticed Bobby Flay was across the street So we all, her and a couple of employees ran down trying to get his attention to come try a cheesecake, but, you know, we weren't able to, but.
Yeah, he was doing some kind of thing at one of the businesses around us, but so it was one of those things where I didn't feel comfortable, like, stepping into their moment, to be, you know what I'm saying? So I just kind of, like, left my business card on top of some of their camera equipment while they was inside shooting, and I was like, maybe he stops by, you know, but. That was probably as closest to a celebrity we've gotten.
Yeah.
Because I know if I'm a big Nas fan, so if Nas ever likes my stuff or reposts my, I'm a probably famous.
I know,
I'm checking out Upper Room.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, Big Nita, you went through a weight loss journey.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk about that?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, let me tell everybody where Big Nita's comes from, because there's been a lot of confusion. A lot of people think it comes from our dog. It comes from my grandma. But Big Nita is just a nickname, my nickname from whenever I was in school, like middle school.
Gotcha.
When I took Spanish class, Nita was my Spanish name. Mm-hmm. And then I used to just run with the boys and weightlift and do things like that. So the guys would call me Big Nita, and it was just a nickname from my childhood.
Okay.
So when I created the business, I was like, oh, I'm going to call it Big Nita's Cheesecakes, because that's what all of my friends and family know me as,
right.
You know? So that's where the nickname came into. And obviously because I used to be a lot bigger, but, I was bigger, like about 400 pounds. And I just decided to, whenever I got sober, I wanted to start losing weight. And so a little after we started the business, I started doing intermittent fasting and a calorie deficit and lost 200 pounds. So
really?
Yeah.
Through intermittent fasting? Because I just had a doctor on here, and we was talking about intermittent fasting. You know, that's kind of like popular now. Like, So like, how you want to talk us, like, how was that like?
It was a little bit of an adjustment, but I actually do something. You have to... It's called, like, I don't know the definition.
It's not the typical intermittent fast.
Yeah, so how mine works is I only eat once a day, and I fast all day long. I like to eat at night, so I like to save all my calories for the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So I will fast all day long, and then around 7 o'clock at night for dinner, I will...
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
I will consume all of my calories from like 7 o'clock at night until probably about 11 o'clock. Probably so from 7 to 11, I'll have dinner, and then I leave myself enough calories for like any type of snacks and things like that. So I follow a thing. It's basically you eat one meal a day, pretty much,
right?
And you consume all your calories in a very short window.
That's amazing, and amazing in itself. But you making so how was it difficult, like staying in a calorie deficit with all these good cheesecakes around you, like, did you have the handcuff? You know what I mean? Like, how does it?
Sometimes, yes, but I'm probably going to sound so ridiculous for saying this, but cheesecakes, I love cheesecakes, but it's not like my kryptonite,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's kind of easy to stay away from it just because I'm not a big...
Sweet guy.
Not a big sweet person. I mean, I am to a certain extent, but... I don't know. And I think, too, also that like, I know, like, I need this product for my customers. So keeps me from eating it, too. Now, my employees and stuff, they get their fix every week. You know what I'm saying? They buy their, which they get, they don't really have to buy it, but they get their little cheesecake slices and whatnot. But for me, it really wasn't that difficult. Like, I don't know. It just.
I'm not a sweet eater myself, but I can put down some potato chips with the best.
Right, right.
You should see me around some chips. Make you sick. I can put them down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like that with like candy, like sour candy. Mm. That was probably harder for me. It's harder for me to stay away from that kind of stuff than it is like cheesecakes and stuff.
Same.
Yeah.
So I see a couple people. It might be ignorant, but like a lot of people thought you was black. Did you ever get like... I thought you was black, too. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm like, nigga, that's, you know, I thought you was black. I ain't gonna lie to you. Then I started following your TikTok, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, when I first seen you, like, you know, when I, as I mentioned before, you know, people, I'm like, oh, she's throwing down again. So you ever get that, you know?
Well, not until I got on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever I started going viral on TikTok, that's when I would start getting a lot of comments that was like, you know, I didn't know she was white.
Right.
And then... then I started seeing like Facebook posts and like all these posts of people thinking that they were very shocked that I was white because of the name and just, I guess, because of what we do and and what we make. I don't know. So it's, I don't know really how to, it doesn't really make me feel any type of way or nothing, you know, but it's just funny because you'll see comments and things like that. I said, look, don't get it twisted. I'm from the Valley. I'm from Valley Station, you know, so I am at heart, but you know,
Got you.
So I got a little in me, a little hood in me now for sure.
Where do you see yourself, like, see the business going, and like, where's in 5 years? Like, what's the 5 year goal? Like, where do you see yourself?
And
I mean, depending, we're gonna see how the next few months go, and look into expanding.
Yeah, we know for sure we don't want 2 locations. So I'm sorry to break anybody's heart that's banking on maybe 2 locations. Our goal would rather be to finish out our lease or get out of our lease if we need to, and just move into a bigger location. We know we don't want 2 locations, but maybe definitely a bigger location. Just to produce more and make more and be able to have a little bit more growth, I think.
Well, big location maybe in year 5, but the first step is get into a bigger location first.
Because, you know, like, when sometimes when businesses expand, they kind of lose that, like, the quality, you know, control.
And I think that's another thing for us and why we don't really want necessarily, like, 2 locations, or people keep asking us, like, to franchise, and I'm like, look, we're still at the point in our business where we're trying to figure out what is the end goal for us? Is it to, do we want to be known like all around the world, like a crumble cookie, or do we want to just keep it? I think for us, keeping it more on a, I don't want to say like local level, but I don't know. Like you said, when you start expanding and branching out, so many things change within your product, within the name of your business and things like that. I always want our product and name to be associated with, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, I just feel like when you start branching out and expanding and bigger, the bigger you come, I don't want to say like the meaning behind it gets lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't really do this for the money. We do this because we love the community. We love our customers. And don't get me wrong, we do make good money, but it's not primarily for the money. That's not the end goal for us, is to, like, see how rich this can make us, because you're in it for the wrong reasons if that's why you're doing it. You know what I'm saying? For us, I think it should, I think we would rather it be, like, a smaller thing and always kept a smaller thing, just so we can ensure the quality of our product, the meaning behind our product. And we've take a lot of pride in offering a quality product for a good price and keeping it on that level. So I think, I know it kind of sounds selfish, but I think we would rather it be like one of those things that we do until we don't want to do it anymore. And then when we don't want to do it anymore, it's gone. And I know that may sound crazy to a lot of people, but I think that's kind of more so our goal with it than to franchise and be all over the world and nationally known. I would rather it be kept a local gym until we're ready to retire, and then when we retire, it's gone. Never gonna exist anymore ever again.
Not passing down to the children?
Well, we don't have any children, so unless we found somebody that, you know, could carry it on, we don't even know if really that's a thought. And, you know, maybe things might change. You know, maybe an opportunity might come about, but for us, we think it's, you know.
No plans for children in the future? No.
Maybe, but people don't realize how consuming owning a business is, and there's just no time for children right now. So unless something changes where we could navigate having a business and having a family, you know, right now we have employees that depend on us, and it's crazy to have to say, but the business has to come first. So things that you want in your life that are enjoyable, like having kids and going to parties and seeing your friends and family, those things have to get put on the back burner until you get your business to the point where, you know, you can do both.
Right.
And we're just not there yet.
Oh, good.
Even though we've been like 5 years in, you know, we're not there yet. So.
Right. So you just recently launched your website, right? How was that process? You said you sold out in like 5 minutes?
No, the website sold out in 12 seconds, but It was crazy because we didn't even think we was going to do a website for the longest time, but then we got so busy, you know, a couple months ago, we really didn't need a website. You could just call the shop and place your order, and that was fine.
12 seconds?
12 seconds.
How many slices is it? How many, you know, how much in 12 seconds? Like how many?
Well, 24 times 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh, math.
Yeah. Get
24. Your math. So add up all the slices. That's 160 plus 40. Mm-hmm. 24 times 8. Plus 192. 240.
And then you have to put the limit. 20
times 4. So just individual slices is 292 slices. Mm-hmm. And then we sell 35 variety samplers.
35 variety samplers, 20 cookie boxes.
And then 20 of each individual cookie.
And 20 individual cookies.
In 12 seconds.
12 seconds.
That's amazing. So is this like shipped out service or like just pre-order you can come pick up at the store? Okay.
Pre-order, come pick it up. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We eventually would like to maybe try to ship, but it's hard, you know, and it's expensive. And I don't think people realize that because, you know, it's based off of weight and things like that. And there's a lot of factors that go into it. We're trying to look into it just as a possibility, like if we ever slow down enough where we could. Right now, there's not enough product to even ship if we want to, because obviously our local people need to have priority to that over somebody that's not from here. But maybe in the long run, we could ship and try it out, you know?
So how does somebody get Big Nita Cheesecake? How does, like, the average person, like, you know, like, do you tell them to be... So what's your hours? So if you open up at 9, what time should I, you know, be...
So typically, before... We went viral. There will usually be a couple of people in line. I would say within 5 to 7 people when we open every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they will show up 10, 15 minutes before we open. Typically, that's our you know, the normal for
us. We used to tell people get there like 30 minutes before we open. Mm-hmm. And that was just to be like on the safe side.
The safe side here the last couple of weeks. 2.5 hours before we open.
Spend the night like Black Friday.
Friday, which is crazy. And it's like every week I take a little bit earlier. Like I said, I started out telling people come an hour early. Then the next week I said, oh, an hour's not enough. I got to tell them an hour and a half earlier. And then the next week I got to tell them 2 hours early. And then now this past week before we took off, we opened at 1 o'clock on a Friday and there's people out there at like 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, really?
Like hours. Now that's not a lot of people, maybe like 10, but I mean, like you need
that's
to be,
amazing.
Yeah, like you, and you have to be like the first. And this is what I'm trying to stress to people right now. You need to be as closest to the door as possible to guarantee to get what you want. Like, you want to be towards the front of that line because...
To get what you want, the quantity that you want.
The quantity that you want. Because right now when there's virality with it, people come and they want to buy a lot of stuff and things like that. So we've just been being real with people. Like, come 2 hours early. And you might even want to come earlier... just to be safe, you know? So yeah, like 2 or 3 hours. So if you want to get our cheesecake, you can try to place an order or you got to visit the storefront and get there like a couple hours early. But like, this isn't the first time this has happened to our business. When we first opened, the first year that we was open, it was the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours before we opened, we'd be open for an hour. We'd completely sell out of everything. And it was like that for like a whole year. And then things kind of, you know, they taper off a little bit and calm down. And that's what people have to understand. Like, the wave is going to calm down. I hope it doesn't calm down a lot, but it's part of the business. Mm-hmm. It's going to, you know, so.
So, what do you, you got a message for, you got a message for like an up and coming entrepreneur that you want to give out that you want to, but no, hold on. Before we do that. I think the mics was on off, but you said somebody drove 16 hours from, was it Cocoa Beach?
Yeah, it was South Florida. She came on Sunday. She was the second customer in line.
Yeah.
She bought tons of cheesecake, and she said that she literally just drove here to get cheesecakes, and she was getting ready to drive right back to home. 17 hours.
That's amazing. Just, 'cause I seen somebody on TikTok say they were from South Carolina. They... somewhere they drove 6 hours from.
Yep, you know? 6 hours.
So the first customer that made us think like holy crap, they're like they're driving.
Yeah.
Was about a month and a half ago. It was this younger couple.
Uh-huh.
She's like, she saw her TikTok and fell in love with the cheesecake, how they looked, and she just told her husband, he got off work, it's like, we're driving.
Yeah, he was
6 hours from West Virginia.
Fresh off the clock, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he literally got off work. They drove straight there, got their cheesecake, and was driving straight back to the house.
From West Virginia?
West Virginia.
That's amazing right there.
Yeah.
And then I think it was 2 weeks ago, the couple from South Carolina, they actually came on Monday during our show for an hours. They got two slices because that's what we had left.
Yeah.
And then they placed an order with me that day and then came and picked up on Thursday.
Yeah. We've had people from West Virginia, South Carolina, Chicago, Michigan, Indy, Florida. I mean, it is crazy, crazy. And that's why I keep stressing to people, especially if you're traveling from afar and you didn't get to place a pre-order. Like on Sunday, somebody called, and this is the worst. It's the worst part of it. Like, we had already sold out. Somebody called. They had just got there. It was like Sunday at 1 o'clock. We had just sold out. And they drove, I don't know where from, but they said they had drove 3 hours to get there. And I was like, look, like, I don't have nothing, you know, because we was taking off this week. So, like, we didn't have a crumb to offer them. So I've been really stressing. Like, if you're going to visit us and you're driving from afar, please get there at least 2 hours before we open.
Okay.
The line is just that big.
2 hours. Mm-hmm.
2 hours. You have to get there 2 hours before we open. Like, we've been timing it. You know what I'm saying?
Because if you're coming from afar, you want to make sure you get some
spotlight. Yes, I want people. So that's why, like, I will tell people even a little bit, you know, even if it's only an hour, I'm going to tell you at least 2 hours. So that way I know for sure you're going to get in line and get in there and get something. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want anybody ever driving that far to get there and get to the door and it be sold out. It's the worst. So I don't know if people just don't think the wait is that bad. Like, we will have literally 100 people in line when we open, and we will not make it through that line a lot of the time. So you have to get there super early right now.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah. It is just.
So did you ever see yourself like becoming like this big? Did you ever like your wildest dreams?
No, never. And now we go out and people recognize us all the time, and we'll be in the grocery and like, they need his cheesecakes. And just going back to, like, what I said in the beginning is, like, it just doesn't feel real. It's very FOMO-ish. Mm-hmm. Like.
I still remember, before she even started taking orders, I actually remember telling her, do not let this take up your entire time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to support you.
Yeah.
But it better not consume all of our time.
Right.
And then.
Indeed.
Here we are.
Spoken into existence.
Literally. But it's just amazing. It really is. And it's hard to describe how it makes you feel because it doesn't feel real a lot of the time. And it's just such a blessing, you know, to have so many people support you and rooting for you and being proud of you. And never in a million years, like I said, this business was, it all was unintentional. So the fact that it has even gotten to this point is what's even crazier about it, you know?
And I'm still at the humble stage, like, I ain't gonna say a big platform, but I got a nice platform, and I still get amazed when people see me out in public and like, you him, and yada yada yada. Like,
yeah.
I'm a local celebrity. The McDonald's by my house, so I'm like, they give me all type of
So you kind of know what we're saying. Then when it's like, it's a feeling hard to describe.
It is.
You know it. Mm-hmm. You're like, man, who would have ever thought?
Right.
That's literally what the thought is. Who would have ever thought?
Yeah, because like. I remember a few months ago, I went and picked up, you know, some medication at Walmart, and the lady checking me out was like, "Are you that guy from, you know, the cheesecake guy?" Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Yeah." It's just weird. It's a weird feeling. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, is that merch for sale or is that just for employees?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, we sell it in our shop. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got shirts and like little tote bags that we sell in our shop. Yeah.
So you buy that? Can you buy that online, or just got to come in store and get it?
Just come in store.
At the store at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
But we probably put it on the website. We've only done the website one time, so we're gonna try to.
Yeah, last week was the first week.
Yeah, last week was the first week for the website, so we're gonna try to get that website down because there's a lot of. Since we launched the website 1 week ago, there's been 100,000 people that have got on there to look at the website.
100,000?
Our website.
Oh, you got to put the merch on there.
I know.
You got to get the merch in there.
Yeah, our website manager be updating me, and he messaged me the other day. He said literally 100,000 people have been on that website in like the last 5 days.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
100,000 people. I'm like, that is crazy. So, and it's like from all over too. He's like California, New York. Like, it's not just from, like, it's all over the U.S. He's like, people are getting on that website from.
So do you have a social media manager too? Or just, is that you?
Me. Oh, okay. That's me. I do that too.
Uh-huh.
And that's
a hard job, ain't
it? Oh my gosh. And you know, like, I was, prior to like really getting into the TikTok, I'd always posted on Facebook and Instagram, and Facebook had primarily been where our business did the best at. We always had the biggest following on there. Mm-hmm. And then in April, we started going viral on TikTok. And since then, things have just really just escalated to the extreme.
And all the calls that we get is like, hey, I saw you guys on TikTok.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Facebook and Instagram have been a wonderful thing for our business, but nothing like TikTok. TikTok is a whole nother beast. Mm-hmm. Like, it has, I mean, oh my God. Like,
because I think with TikTok, it's all age groups. Like, it is. You got 4, 5, 6 year olds and all the way up to, you know, elderly people. Like, TikTok is a wide variety.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
It is.
Not only that, I think it just shows it to people, like, outside of, like, your bubble, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so, but going back to it, so when we started going viral on TikTok, I said, okay, I got to really start learning how to do this content stuff. Because I've always been fine on Facebook, like, making posts and stuff. But I had to really, like, watch videos and teach myself how to edit videos and content and hooks and all these things that make your TikToks do well. Mm-hmm. So I really started researching it, and I started learning how to do it and learning about the algorithms and things like that. But that's a whole other thing of it. So I probably spend, outside of working every day, probably at least 20 hours a week on social media stuff, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always recording. I'm always trying to do content. But that's what I told Berto. It's getting to the point where I can't manage it. I'm so tired. Getting up 7 a.m., going to work, not going to bed until 11 o'clock. Because when I get home at 7 o'clock at night, I need to spend at least 2 or 3 hours editing videos, content, and things like that. So,
this is where Confirmed Multimedia, he does that. He's my producer.
And
he manages, edits, and I'm serious, you know. That might be a collab you want to look into, because he offers that. He edits the videos, and he's good with the, because he studies it. I love this man. He's a good guy. He goes over and beyond for the podcast.
Yes.
He's always Googling and looking up ways to algorithms.
Yes, like you have to learn it. Yeah. You have to study it. That's what people don't get. When your content starts doing well, when my content finally started doing well on TikTok, I said, I've got to figure out my algorithm, what's going to do well for us, what video, you know, just learn about it.
There's so much that goes into it, like different times, different keywords.
Yes, yeah. I post 4 videos a day on there. I post, you know, morning, midday, later in the day, and then at night. Like, 4 videos a day is so much.
It is.
Like,
4 a day?
4 a day, just on TikTok. And then I'll do my little Instagram and my Facebook stuff. But I've really been putting my work into TikTok, because that's what's given us so much in the last few months, you know? So, but that's what I was telling Berto. It's getting to the point where it's unmanageable for me. So our next step definitely is to look into a social media manager, somebody that can help me maintain our social media, because even just like trying to respond to the comments, like, it's out of the question. Like, I'm going to make the post, but I cannot respond to comments on Facebook, Instagram, and you know what I'm saying?
So, and I know your platform is 30 times bigger than mine. I get overwhelmed myself
between
TikTok, Facebook, Instagram.
Man,
you know, I got my personal pages, you know, that I'd be on time to time.
Yeah.
You know, and I love all the support and DMs, but I'm not ignoring nobody on purpose. But, you know, just overwhelmed. I'm only one person, and I still get a job, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's why I stress people. Do not message me on social media. I could pull up my phone, and there is thousands upon thousands. It's physically impossible. So I say this. You need me, call me at the storefront. I'm there every single day. You can get through on the phone at any time. Please don't message me, because it's like you said, it's not out of, I'm not trying to respond to you or acknowledge you. It's just physically impossible when your stuff gets to the point where, you know. But since TikTok has got into it, it's a whole nother thing. So hopefully we can figure out a social media person, because Your girl's tired. Yeah. Brandon, I'm going to get his info before we leave. Confirmed multimedia.
Yeah, he's a wonderful.
Man,
coach. So before we get out of here, you want to have a message, you know, for up-and-coming entrepreneur, you know, somebody just starting business?
I would say this is what someone told us starting out when we moved into this location, mm-hmm. is that for the first 3 to 5 years of starting your business, just grind it out. It's like, work as hard as you can. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nonstop, you're going to sacrifice time with family, friends, time by yourself. But put in that time, 3 to 5 years, and it'll be worth it.
Yeah. And I would agree with that, because what people don't understand is, yes, we work every day now, but even what we work now versus what we worked a year ago is still drastically different, because it takes time to learn your process and build your team and da-da-da-da. So even though our storefront's been open for a little over 3 years, we really didn't key in on what we were doing until like the last year. And that may sound crazy to people, but just learning how to run your production in a way to where we can get in there at 7 o'clock in the morning and leave by 5, because prior to that,
when we were first moved to this location, we'll get there at 7. Her and I weren't leaving until 9 p.m.
Really?
Or even, mm-hmm. even later. I mean, yeah, it was later. Like we would sleep maybe 3 or 4 hours a day. And then, so even though our business consumes a lot of our life now, it's still much more manageable than it was a year ago.
Right.
So like it has taken years of doing what we do to learn what's the fastest, most efficient way to do things to make our lives easier so we can have normalcy. So that's why people have to understand when they're pushing us to get a bigger location or get a little bit of this, we have just now in the last year experienced somewhat normalcy in our lives, because we're getting there at 7 and then we're leaving every day at 5. So we still get a couple hours at night to like eat dinner together, right. or stop by his parents and see them, or to where like a year ago, you're not going to do any of that. You know, you're going to like go to work, sleep, and then go back to work.
And that just goes to show, I say this all the time, people on social media, they just see the highlights. They don't see the grind. They don't see the sleepless night. They don't see the sacrifices.
Yeah.
Like you said, the storefront might be from 7 to 7, but that's a 12-hour, but you're putting in 16. You
know, right. 17 hours days.
So a lot of people don't see the grind, and, you know. And
even before, like, when we're at our commissary shop. Mm-hmm.
We literally just slept there. We didn't even go home.
Really?
I would go to the car, sleep for an hour or two, and mm-hmm. then we'll switch off. She'll go and sleep for an hour or two. Yeah. And,
like, when I say we have sacrificed our lives to this for the last, since it started, it is, like, to the extreme. To, like he said, we would sleep in the car an hour and then get right back up and go to work. And we would do that. Like, I don't even know how we did that. We look back on it now.
That's still having, at that time, we still had like 2 employees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, so, I always say people love the idea of having their own business, but that's what they like. They like the idea of it. Right. You know what I'm saying? It sounds good. Mm-hmm. Until, literally, like I said, I haven't seen my best friend since the last time we took a break, so I finally get to see her tomorrow. So I get to see my best friend 4 times a year, and right. that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the truth, you know, because there's no other time outside of the business to do those kind of things, to see friends, to go to birthday parties. You have to miss your friends' birthday parties, your family's
parties.
My
parents come on Sundays to help us out at the storefront so they can spend time with me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's how.
Yeah. Like, literally come and help us just get to see him and spend time with him and be a part of his life, because outside of that, we would never really get to see them because we're always working. So I always say people love the idea of having their own business, but once they learn the reality of it, it's completely different, because most people couldn't do it. I will mm-hmm. say that. I truly don't think most people could do it. You have to really want it, and you have to be willing to sacrifice every aspect of your life.
Just not give up.
Starting a business. Like, I've read it's like 30% make it past the first year. Like, it's, mm-hmm. if you make it past the first year, like, you're in the top, mm-hmm. of the business owners, man. So, like you said, you got to stay grinding, like, even with the podcast. And, like, some days, you know, mm-hmm. I'd rather be outside and park driving around, you know. But, business comes first. But it was amazing talking to you. It was a good conversation.
Yes, thanks for having me. This is our first podcast.
And I think it was well needed, because a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people get the misinformation.
Yes.
And you told your story, mm-hmm. and, you know, they can see the, like you said, the sacrifice and the grind. And I appreciate you having on. Heavy Plates, they gave me like a little plaque. They said it was the first podcast.
Yeah.
Did you make it to the Gus, the foodie meetup at Gus's?
Gus's, but went to the first one.
Okay.
And we'll be at the next one, which is, I think, in a couple weeks at the Streetery or Eatery or whatever it's at. But yeah, we didn't make it to the second one because my mom was ill. But but we'll definitely be at the next one. Yeah, for sure.
It's a dope event because I've seen the first one. I'm like, I got to have Ian on
yes.
this. Like, it was amazing.
It is. Uh-huh. So did you go to the one at Gus's?
Yeah, I went there. Yeah.
It is like, I told Chelsea, I said, I'm so proud of you because it's nothing. No one's doing that kind of stuff in the community. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So to get people in the same room that do the same things that can relate to each other. It's a beautiful thing. I think she's just so amazing for thinking about doing something like this for people in the community, for businesses, for content creators.
Yeah.
And man, it just, and now it's cool because you meet so many people. So then like when you post TikToks and stuff, it's the same people that you met at the little meetup comment on your stuff and building like a little network with people. And that's really what it's about, networking and, you know, and getting it out there. So yeah, I was really honored to be involved in that process.
Yeah, I was running late. I was actually, so I'm a creep on there here unnoticed. Uh-huh. And as soon as I step foot in there, she's on the microphone.
Oh yeah,
there he is.
There
I'm
he
like,
is.
Oh man,
so, everybody say hi.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. So she called me up there and gave me like a plaque, like a Chet family approved, and you know she said thank you for having me. It was her first podcast, and I met some dope business owners. Of Wacky Nachos. I met the owners of Gus.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah. They got some good chicken too.
Man, it's an amazing thing. So if anyone's ever contemplating, they should go. They should be a part of it.
Yes, definitely.
It's so dope. It's just amazing. That's another reason why I feel like I'm drawn to Chelsea so much, just because like she's such a community-driven person, and I feel like so are we. So we just really hit it off.
She actually invited me to something else. I'm gonna be a judge at a food competition.
Oh my God,
October.
Yes.
Chicken, dumplings, and. Was it not cheesecake? Pumpkin pie. So I'm going to be a judge. So I'm going to be a guest judge. So I can't wait for that.
That's what's up. That's so cool.
But biganlazy.com is our website. Big and Lazy Pod is our IG. If you go biganlazy.com, it's merch. We got a subscription service. All our links is on there. We appreciate all the support. You got something you want to
Don't
need no shout now. They 16.
Yeah, follow us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Big Nita's Cheesesteaks. No, but for real, thank you for having us.
No problem.
I feel like this is another milestone of our business. Our first podcast.
You signed the wall yet?
Not yet, but we're gonna sign the wall. Sign the wall, and thanks for giving us a chance to like share our story, share our journey, and just kind of let people a little bit know more about us. On the back end of that side that people don't normally get to see, you know, so.
I reached out to a couple of people like that, like, you just need a place to, you know, sit down and chill spot and you just tell your story.
Yeah.
Like, we reached out to Kelly Bunny, and that was one of our biggest episodes. Like, she told her how she, not to get off subject, but she told her how she, her husband got killed and whatnot. And, but she told it on TikTok in like 15 different parts.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, let's come, you know, put it all together. You know, they ain't got to search for the part. Yeah. So.
Because that's the thing. Like, I always tell him, like, I feel like I need to make a video every other day that like explains everything. But, you know, you don't want to be on there like saying the same thing over and over. But like when you're growing at a rapid rate like that, there you get so many new people that just don't know the back end of the story and don't know the back end of the journey. And that's why it's so crucial for us to keep our family tight, because those are the people that are going to support when it's crazy busy and when it's crazy slow, you know? So, but that's probably been the biggest challenge, is just constantly telling the same thing without it being like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, I've heard this. He's posted it every other day, but it's like, it's an important part of this, of the journey. People need to know about it, you know? So they know that we're not just like not knowing what we're doing. Cause like I said earlier, people like send us these messages and stuff. Like, we don't know what we're doing. I'm like, look, just ride it out.
We
got it.
Yeah. That's why we always try to give a big shout out to our regulars. Cause they always have our back no matter what.
Yeah. Like, those be the people that be in the comments, like, let me tell you their story real quick.
All right.
I'm like, thank you, because I'm tired. I didn't want to have to type that out 30 times in the last 30 minutes. But yeah, no, it's been a blessing. All of this is just very surreal and very humbling for sure.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Major story, dope conversation. And we're going to end it just like that. Thanks for the love and support. Bye. Yeah.
Another Confirmed Multimedia Production. Confirmed. Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. It was something good, good to eat. It was something good to watch.
The Big and Lazy.